إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله. In the continuation of the series of the Muslim family, we all now know that the major purpose of the message of Islam is to build the Muslim character. And one of the requirements to build the Muslim character is the Muslim home. And in the previous khutbah, I was talking about the major milestones or characters that the Muslim person should have. You have the conscious, you have the promoting good and fighting evil, the best akhlaq, and that took time. And the second thing, inshallah, I want to talk about, now we have a character. How is this character going to behave? We have to have a roadmap. So we need, that's one thing we're going to talk about it, inshallah. After that, this character, like anything else, it needs to grow and it needs to be maintained. As long as you're moving, there is right or wrong. How are you going to do the right, and how are you going to stay away from the wrong, and how are you going to clean up? How to do that? And inshallah, that's going to come, and we're going to talk about those right after that, inshallah, after khutbah. And after that, we will go together how to build the Muslim family step by step. Inshallah. Starting, and while you are building that family, which is you already now have a family, how to help your that little child to be a builder. How that child, when he come to adulthood and be able to be a builder, to get married and to have his own family or her own family, will be already a builder, know how to build the family and what is the requirement for this family. Today, inshallah, in our khutbah, I will talk about the roadmap. What is the jurisdiction that you and I supposed to work on it or within it, so we don't go outside the boundaries? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He put this roadmap, He identified it to us. And not only He said, this is the roadmap, but He came right out with it. And He said, listen, unfortunately, or fortunately, this is the only roadmap that I want you to do. There is no other way to accomplish the goal that you've been created to do other than following this map. What is this magnitude surah that it has all of that? It got all of that wealth. It got all of that knowledge. It got all of this how to. It got all of this. And you're going to find out, like what I read, inshallah, when I recited now, it is extremely short, small surah. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. The surah says what? والعصر. It means in any given time, the majority of the mankind will lose. إن الإنسان لفي خسر. And what is the exception? He said the exception of this category, the loser, is the one who will fulfill four requirements. He will only do four things. And what are those four things? Number one, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They believed. How I know? Believe in what? Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As one, absolute, never begotten, begot none, and none likened to Him. Believe by His books, believe by the Messenger, believe by the angels, believe by the divine destiny and the day of judgment. The essence of belief is the unconditional obedience to Allah. And that you're going to see that at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now I want to measure the quality, excuse me, the quality of that belief. I want to know if it is phony, if it is healthy, it is sick, it is in the right direction. How I'm going to measure that belief? By the next one coming, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The nature of the belief is leading you to the good deed. The nature of the belief is to do what? Good deed. Why? Because the belief reach maturity when you are in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are accepting what Allah ordained and say Alhamdulillah. And when you committed yourself to never obey other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you never have and or with it. Sami'na, we hear, we obey. Is it expensive? The most expensive. And that's what you and I gonna get paid for. That just getting to the point of we hear, we obey. That's a maturity to your belief. A good deed. What is the good deed? Or what it means? It is act. It can be say or it can be act. Verb. Something that you do. But it has to have a certain requirement. The first requirement is what you are, the motive for doing it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I do it to please myself and to please Allah? You will never say one of the truth words to somebody if your aim is to please yourself, because you're going to get yourself in trouble. So you are doing it, the main motive, not the main motive, the motive is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second major requirement here, it is within the boundaries of the Quran and Sunnah. And I usually use in this area, Robin Hood. Don't go and steal and say, I'm stealing from the rich and giving the poor. And that's a good deed. That's not a good deed. That's a stealing. So it's going to have to be within what? The lawful. That we know that it is lawful from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Right? Number three. The impact of it is to have a benefit coming out of it. You can do a lot of things. And those things, that it doesn't benefit anybody. So many activities we do is not really related to the target, related to preparing for meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all live as if we live. And there is a say that I like in this area. It says what? If you don't know how to die, you don't know how to live. Because there is a lot of activities, a lot of saying that you are saying. It is in the area of mubah. But there is no use coming out of it. Neither to you or to others. And the fourth element that it must be there is what? Raja, hope. When you do a good deed, you ask Allah to accept. It is not, I did this, and that's the consequence of it. Worry about the quality of what you do. Worry about the motive that you did it. Worry about that you sometimes, maybe you do something and you think that I like what I did. When you say to yourself, I like what I did, that means what? If I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. Doesn't matter if it is right or wrong. That can show some deficiency in that deed. And inshallah, in another khutbah, and I hope and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exempt us out of His mercy, out of this process. When the trial comes, and when you take your book by your hand, never think that it got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in it. Only Allah accept what it was for His sake, to to make the long story short in this area, you go, any given deed you do, it goes 3-7 stages of evaluation. Like the quality assurance in any given product you get, and there is a stamp on it at the end, it says what? Pass the quality assurance. That means there is a department to see the quality. Exactly the same thing for your deed. It goes through seven major steps. Some will be rejected, some will whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempt us out of that. And it comes until the last stage when the angel get this deed and says, Ya Allah, he passed all of those. Would you please accept it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept or reject. And I'm going to say what? You testified to what you know. But I am the only one who know what was his motive when he did what he did. I am the only one who knows. Please never keep that out of your mind. Don't look at yourself and don't look at what you do. But look to what, who you are doing to. You feel embarrassed when you give a $5 to a billionaire as a gift. What is it that you give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he evaluates? He is the one, the obedience of the whole universe will not going to help him or add anything, and the disobedience of the whole entire universe will not harm him. 100% you have to qualify yourself and qualify your deed. And there is no other way of seeking, bleeding. Throw yourself in Allah's mercy to accept what you do. And part of doing this process, and while you are doing it, and the minute you finish, you say, if Allah give me the life and the time and the opportunity, how I'm going to do what I just did better? This time I did this, next time around, how I'm going to do this better? That's part of the process, inshallah. So the second, the first one is belief. The second one, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, good deed. And what is the third word? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, that means promoting good and fighting evil. And this is the dilemma. This is the crisis. This is the pitfall. Name it anything you call it. This is the fatal bullet for the whole entire Muslim ummah, for the whole entire Muslim family, and for the all individual Muslims. You want me to pray, I'll pray. You want me to fast, I'll fast. You want me to read Quran, I'll do. I am willing to give you what's in my pocket. But when it comes to promoting good and stand up and fighting evil, let somebody else do it. Why should I get in trouble? And that's unfortunately put us among the people who've been described as what? People that they hate the sin, but they never rejected the sinner. And people like the khair or the good deed, but they never stand up for the people they are doing it. Look at what the scholars of this ummah. What are the scholars that said during the whole entire history that says, Rabbi Allah, stand up for the right and get the consequence and don't accept wrongdoing and stand up for the consequences. We are not doing it. And this is that can give you explanation. We will never have it in our time. I believe, and you may share that with me or not, I believe we have enough scholars living in our living time, more than what we had from the whole entire history, starting from Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam till this second. If you get all the number of scholars and you get them all over, and you see the number of the scholars today, they're going to be more. We are rich. We have powers. We have health. We have everything. And we have a lot of ceremonies and a lot of rituals. But when we come to promoting good and fighting evil, this is the absent obligation. there is no strong country or a strong family or a strong person, and you will not see that they do promote good or fight evil regardless if they believe or not. Let somebody in the government of the United States do something wrong and see what the Congress and the Senate and the media will do. They're going to cut them to pieces. But we, every single day, we see Allah's right get violated and we don't move. But if somebody dare to touch my right, oh, a lot of trouble. He's going to be in a lot of trouble. The least that I'm going to do, don't ever talk to me again like that. Self-defense. The least. And we call it slandering and we sue sometimes. You go like a lion after your right. And Allah right that inshallah going to come when the maintenance tool I talk about, you committed yourself that you will protect. That's what La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is all about. You see it is happening in front of you every single day. And you are not there. You are there and you are not there. By the way, I'm not talking to you this second. I'm talking to myself. Because I'm on the same path. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is in the other, is there are some, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed his punishment in the people. So when the angel of the punishment came, they found out the people worshiping. They say, subhanallah, how are we going to devastate this one and there are people worshipping? They are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they ask Jibreel and Jibreel ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the answer came what? Ya Jibreel, bihim tabda'oom. By them you start my punishment. By those worshipper, you start my punishment. Why? Because they did know what is the right thing to do, and they did not promote it. And they did know what is the wrong thing, and they did not fight it. Your value that you will be measured by, one of the main major tools that you will be measured by, is the ability to promote good and fight evil the right way. Imagine under only this category, if Sayyidina Muhammad did not promote good and fight evil, what would happen? If Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam, he did not do that. If Musa, he did not do that. Each one of those names, they are a scholar, and no one going to worship better than them among the sons of Adam. But what they have in common, promoting good and fighting evil. Even in the collective description, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this area, he's saying what? وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. What about them? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passed the license. He gave the stamp, mu'min, male, mu'min, female. What they do? وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Why? They are allies of each other. That means they are standing up by each other. What they do? What is the cement in this relationship? What makes the bond? Promoting good and fighting evil. That means what? As long as you are it, imagine a family, imagine a town, imagine a city, imagine a country. Everybody in it saying, you are my brother, you are my sister, as long as you are doing the right thing. And those privileges are going to go away if you are in a state of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine what would happen if you have this mentality and that attitude. What would happen? Turning your back against something wrong is going on. It's easy. From your perspective, it is safer. But in reality, it is fatal. Because the first victim to what you did is your iman. And from there, You get walayazu billah, the filth of the word shirk, associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who stop you? Something else associated with Allah. Who promote you? Something else associated with Allah. And I talked a lot about part of the character of the Muslim is to promote good and fight evil, the tools, the attributes, the methods, how to do it, how to when to be giving a targheeb, promoting, and when to be a disciplinary, and what occasion, what stages, and what even different format. When to use Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hadith, and when to use even the silent treatment. When you use what the Quran subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, wa'arid anhum. A'arid anhum, that means get to the point of avoiding them. It is a part, let them know, never send the message. Never send the message. Even if you are feeling so weak, never send a message to a wrongdoer that it is okay what you're doing. By your body, by your eyes, by your hands, by it doesn't have to be by your tongue. Never send this message, because you're going to be the first victim to it. You are not only hurting him or her, you are hurting yourself. The fourth element that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking us to do in this roadmap is what? تواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. بالصبر, that means what? They are patient. Okay. Now, what does the patient mean? Do we have different kind for patient? Are they different kind? Yeah. What did the word patient mean? And what kind of not only categories, but also kinds? They are. There are categories and they are kinds. And where we get all of those? From the Quran al-Kareem and from the Sunnah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, let us go to the definition of patient. Patient, that means you are accepting what you usually will not accept or tolerate, while you have the ability to retaliate. Somebody slam your face, I can slam you back, but I'm going to be patient not to do it, because I don't know what is your motive. Maybe somebody told you something bad, so we will conversate. But don't go to somebody expert in the martial art, slam your face, and you didn't slam him back, and come and say this is patient. That's a fear. And that is the brother of not promoting good and fighting evil. You have to be able to retaliate. You have to, so you to be in the state of patience, you are accepting and not responding while you can respond. Okay, now what kind or what categories we have? The first category is the patient, pure patient. Pure patient. Like the definition that I got. But there is some other patient, it is higher quality. It is higher quality. Because, okay, I did not respond. I did not retaliate. But I'm hurt. I'm angry. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be these things to happen to me. But it happened. The second category, it says what? Sabrul Jameel. When you look the what they recommended or the tranquil patient, which is what? You can see the description of it in Surah Yusuf. When the for Sayyidina Yaqub, the father of Sayyidina Yusuf, when they killed, or of that perspective, they lost his son. They came up, they put blood on the shirt, and there is no one single hole in it, and they are coming to tell me that the wolf ate him. What kind of wolf is this? That has a very high etiquette. He can eat without even put a hole in the shirt. He knows that they are pure liar. They know they did something wrong. But what did he say? Sabran, huh? Jameel. والله المستعان على ما تصفون. صبر جميل, that mean what? I will never retaliate or never respond. صبر جميل والله سبحانه وتعالى المستعان. I only seek help for this dilemma. I seek for that pain and agony only from who? From Allah. What kind of a mighty power is this? And is it exclusive to messengers and prophets? No. This is because he has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knows when Allah gives, he gives out of mercy. And when Allah takes, he takes out of mercy. And subhanallah, treat us by mercy. And Allah decree to treat us with mercy. So he knows by his heart that Allah has another plan. Later on, do you think Sayyidina Yusuf will have this personality, that education, that ability, if he would stay with his father? Look at the part of the attribute of this character. Sayyidina Yusuf, under overwhelming injustice, he's maybe just in kind of a few cases that he deliberately went to jail, not by mistake, but by deliberate. They decided it is for the best of everybody that Yusuf will be in jail for a while. He did not sit down and he did not feel depressed and depression and all of that. He did what? The minute he was down there, he was making da'wah to Allah. He was not worrying about himself. He was making da'wah. He was making da'wah to the residents of the cell with him. And instead of sit down and cry for himself and feel sorry for himself, he was making da'wah. What kind of belief he had? What kind of quality and personality? What kind of a confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I like very much at the end of Surah Yusuf, when he is saying at the end, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahsana maswaya. All praise to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he treated me kindly. After all the misery, by your standard and my standard, that he went to take it from day one, snatch it from the loved father, be betrayed by your brothers, be in a hole of a cave, be with the strangers, name it. Tailor it, you're going to see it in Sayyidina Yusuf. And after that he's saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahsana maswaya. That is the sabr al-jameel. That is the sabr al-jameel. The sabr that is built it on a confident and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the third kind of patience? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Asbiru. That's number one. And what is the third one? Wasabiru. Sabiru means what? Don't be patient one time. But your job in the cause of Allah to be what? Patient all the time. Al-musabara. Sabr, that means it is act. It got a beginning and end. Yesterday, I was a patient. You slammed my face and I hold it. Today you come and slam my face again. What's going on here? Maybe I'll let you have it. But instead of that, والمصابره. That means what? Have that as a habit. It's not only one act. You do it when you want, and you don't do it when you don't, or at your convenience, because you never know why that neighbor is treating you this way. Maybe he's under complete different assumptions. Maybe somebody did something to him. Maybe he's going through misery and he's trying to just to relieve himself. You never know. You cannot act. Muslim act on reality, not assumptions. Especially in the area of discipline. Okay. So these are three major categories of patience. What kind of patience, that act that you and I do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will consider it act of patience? It comes on the top of the list. Accepting Allah's decree is patient. Whatever state you are in, poverty, health, sickness, strong, weak, hurdles, whatever. Accepting Allah's decree requires patience. And you say, as long as it is coming from Allah, alhamdulillah. يَوْمَ يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ عَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The consequence of that is what? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you in the day of judgment, He gives you not the equivalent of what you did, but give you handsomely, without even account. Without giving you did this, you take this. Out of generosity. Now it is not act of justice or act of mercy, it is act of generosity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'm going to be generous with who? With the patient. So the first category of patient is what? Number one, accepting Allah's decree in your life. Believe nothing happening by coincidence. Nothing. It is not important what you have in your life. More important is what you do with what you have. And out of Allah Mighty, none of us have what the other have. Everyone got unique profile. Everyone got unique, in any given time, got unique capabilities. What are you doing with that in any given time? Are you using it to get closer to Allah? Or you are using it to get further away from Allah? Your worry is not about what you got. Your worry is supposed to be, what am I doing with what I got? Comes after that, the second thing, seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge. It is holy in Islam to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you sit down and open a book, or when you sit down and study to benefit yourself and to benefit others, in civil or religion, knowledge, they are treated the same. As long as the intention to do what? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I will consider you patient. The third, doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do. We had this year in the month of Ramadan, we breakfast in some days 8:30. And the temperature was what? It was almost 100 and more in a lot of days. Does that need patience? When you have everybody around you eating and drinking and whatever. When you are home alone and no one see you but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have your fridge, have the cold water and the good food and all of that stuff, and you are saying, no, I'm fasting. Are you angel? No, you are not angel, but you are in a state of patience. You are in a state of patience. So you are not, when you do what Allah order you to do, you are not getting the reward of what you do. But if it is in the category, you will get the reward of what? The patience with it too. So you're going to get the reward of being patient too. Staying away from the forbidden means a lot of patience. Or your friends or relatives, whatever, not relatives, but friends or colleagues or whatever, going out for a happy hour, going out for a drink, just to say thank you, keep on going, I'll see you guys later or see you tomorrow. Is that a patient or not patient? That's a character to start with, but also require a patient. Require a lot of patience. So to do good, you require patience. To stay away from forbidden require patience. Promoting good, another kind, promoting good and fighting evil. You see now, promoting good and fighting evil coming back again. Require patience. When it was last time that you talked to somebody and you told them, because out of caring for you, or because this, maybe we need to look again to that issue that you are doing, and this is wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever. What was your the reaction? You're going to say, thank you? No. It needs guts and patience, and actually it needs to have enough love to Allah and to His creatures to promote good and fight evil. When you promote good and fight evil, a lot of people get the misunderstanding that you are talking from the upper hand. You are not on the upper hand. None of us never been in the upper hand. And will never be on the upper hand. The whole thing is a collective effort. Like al-mu'minina wal-mu'minatu ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. So when I talk to you about something, tomorrow you're going to talk to me about something. So it is not today I'm better than you and tomorrow you are better than me. No. The whole collective issue is this, either we both good or we both bad. And this is how it is collected. And if you want to know where I'm driving this from, look at Surah Az-Zumar. It is known, it is one of the basics in Sharia. Responsibility is individual. But reward and punishment is what? Collective. Groups. You are one of. You cannot say just me. So promoting good and fighting evil need guts and need patience. Also, the number six, to accept the reaction and the consequence of promoting good and fighting evil needs a lot of patience. In the first one, in the one before, promoting good and fighting evil, not carrying the consequence, please look at two areas. Look at Surah Al-Buruj and look at Surah Yasin. And accepting the consequence and the reaction of promoting good and fighting evil. Take the best example, what happened to the prophets and messengers and the Salihin. Did anybody ever tell them thank you? Appreciate it? They got killed, tortured, abused, denied, falsely accused. Name it. Name it. You and I, we do things good and whatever, and when we don't get a good reaction, what we do? We feel disappointed, and most of the time we stop. But look at what happened with those people. What makes Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Wallahi ya ammi la wada'u al-shamsa fi yamini wa al-qamara fi shamali ala an atruka hadha al-amr ma taraktuh hatta yuzhiruhu Allah aw ahlaka min duni. Oh my uncle, even if they get to the point of putting the sun on my right hand the moon in my left hand to abandon the message of Islam, I will never do till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it succeed, or I will be killed or finish. Is that a patient? What kind of character is this? Look at Sayyidina Isa ibn Maryam. He performed 32 medical miracles. Out of the 32 medical miracles, only one, after he walked away, he turned back and remember to say thank you. That means 31, they got the miracle and never say thank you. What kind of a disappointment is this? That can turn anybody off. But to accept the consequence of promoting good and fighting evil, abused, tortured, killed, or neglected, or even not having any gratitude in return, all of that is what? Classified as patience. So we have how many kind? We have 6 different kind of patience. We have to look at our behavior and see what is it we are doing. Surah Al-Asr is, like I said, it is what? Surah Al-Asr is the road map. It is your user guide. Out of those 6 categories that I talked about, is your life revolve around them or you are not? That's how you will find out if what you are doing is in your life, not only right or wrong, but if it is worthy or not. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And help us to understand our religion, understand the Holy Quran, and they understand the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply them in our life so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and inshallah in the hereafter we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sin and all our mistake, and accept our deed inshallah among the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept their deed. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قبل الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. If you look at those 6 categories, you will see that 2 of them related to one issue, which is the issue number 3, promoting good and fighting evil. The bottom line, you will never worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more pure and more dedicated and more sincere than angels. But what will qualify you to Allah's mercy is not the act of worship as much as the act of worship that it winded, that behind it, the commitment to promote good and fight evil. 2, number 5 and number 6, they are about promoting good and fight evil. And the major pace, number 3, it was a promoting good and fight evil. So that can tell you, I hope inshallah, that part, the missing part of our life, we will activate it. Inshallah, promoting good and fighting evil. The best, inshallah, it will be, and I hope some, if you like, you can go back to some of those khutbah I talk by details. But one of the major tools that you need to have to promote good and fight evil, sincere, genuine love to Allah and His creatures. you will never be in a position to condemn anybody. You will never be in a position to better anybody. And remember what the shaitan said, Ana khayrun min, I am better than him. Not just because that person doing something wrong, that means he's a bad person. Maybe if that person will have your circumstances, have your knowledge, will be 10 times better than you. How could you know? So you have to have a love. The second main tool that you have to have is knowledge. You have to know what you're doing, not what you think. You have to have the knowledge. And you have to have the method how you will deliver it. It is well-known fact, when somebody talks to you from the heart, your heart will listen. When you talk to the people from the heart of the people before their ears listen. Let your love to Allah and let your love to His creatures to be your guide to promote good and fight evil. And I like so much in Surah Luqman, when Sayyidina Luqman insisting, talking to his adult son, and is still promoting good and fighting evil, when he was telling him, you're going to go to hell, you can do that, because in the beginning he was kafir. He said, what? Ya Abunay, la tushrik billah. You see how? That's promoting good. There are methods. And the best school that you can learn in it, Sayyidina Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. I'm going to finish the khutbah by telling you this. Building yourself, building your family, which is responsibility, qualify to Allah's mercy. It's not easy task. It is not task that you can do in a routine activities. There is a lot of a challenge in it. That is the task of your life, to qualify yourself to Allah's mercy. And we, without no further ado, we need immediately to start that task by asking Allah to forgive, and we repent, and we ask Allah to use us to do the right thing, and to show us the right thing, and to accept from us the right thing. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our gathering. Forgive all our sin, all our mistakes, all our shortcomings. Grant us mercy. And use us, Ya Allah, to glorify your name. And use us to be among the people that they promote good and fight evil according to your rules and according to your will, Ya Allah. And عباد الله قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.